Story is told about a prize that was once offered to an artist who would depict the concept of peace. One image that was submitted was a calm lake perfectly mirroring distant mountains, and overhead was blue sky with puffy white clouds. Another picture was submitted, but it was of a rugged bare mountain with foaming waterfalls tumbling down the side. And above were dark, stormy clouds with lightning. But if you looked real closely at the picture, in a bush by the waterfall, well, a bird had built her nest, and the mother bird was sitting contently on the nest in the midst of the thundering waterfall and the storm that was raging around. And it was the second picture that won the contest. Because peace is about being calm in your heart in the midst of the chaos of life. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 1. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Whoops, I'm on 1 Timothy, I'm reading 2nd. Excuse me. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." We're to pray for that tranquil life. We want to have peace. But that doesn't mean the world's going to change and stop bothering us. We're to find peace despite what is happening in the world. Peace is something that has to come from within us. Take a look at Psalms 131. Psalms 131, and starting at verse 1. "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me." I have to compose my life. I have to calm myself. In Romans, we're told that we're to live at peace with all people. In Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and in verse 18. "If possible, as so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." But notice how they're qualified. I try to live at peace with other people. But I don't control other people. I can't control how they behave. So other people might not return the favor and leave me at peace. And so when we're dealing with other people, we have to learn how to make peace. In James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, in verse 18. "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So how do I find peace? If I'm not going to live in a world that's going to be peaceful, how do I find peace? Well, we have to pursue it. That's what we were read for us in Hebrews chapter 12, back in verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." If I don't find this peace, as well as holiness, then I'm not going to see God. And if I have to pursue it, then that implies that I have to put some effort into it in order to gain that peace. in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. If we desire a good life, then we have to seek out and pursue the things that allow us to live peacefully. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and starting at verse 10, but the day of the Lord, oops, now we're reading 2 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 10, for the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now notice how it mentions here. It talks about if we desire, we have to seek it. What do I have to do? Well, I have to not lie. I have to not speak about evil. I have to turn away from doing what is wrong. I can't find peace and live a wicked life at the same time. In fact, earlier in that passage, in verse 8, it says, to sum up, all of you be in harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. How do we find that good life? We need to be in harmony. We have to work together. We need to be sympathetic. That means that we have to be able to see things from other people's point of view. We can't just see it from our own view. We have to be brotherly. I need to know this and see the connection between me and everyone else. I need to be kind-hearted. I need to be nice. And I need to be humble, not putting myself first. These are the things that allow us to find peace. And it has to be our ambition. You don't just stumble into it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business, work with your own hands, just as we commanded you. Now, as we mentioned before, peace doesn't come by doing what's wrong. It doesn't come by evil. It comes by doing what is right. It comes from righteousness. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. One of the results of following God's laws, God's commands, following after what the Scriptures teach us, one of the results is peace. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. Things are going to go wrong. There are going to be difficulties in life. But we can take those problems to God. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't hang on to my problems. I turn them over to someone who can take care of them. In our songbook, there's a beautiful song that's titled, It Is Well With My Soul. The author, Horatio Spafford, was a successful lawyer and a businessman who lived in Chicago. But in 1871, he lost his real estate investments in the Great Chicago Fire. Shortly before the fire, his only son had died at a young age. In 1873, 2 years later, he and his wife and his four daughters were headed to Europe. But at the last minute, he had to stay in Chicago to deal with business. He sent his family ahead and promised to meet up with them in a few days. As the ship with his family crossed the Atlantic, it crashed into another vessel and rapidly sank within 12 minutes. Very few people survived. Spafford received a telegram a few days later from his wife that read, "Saved, alone." The grieving father journeyed across the sea to be with his bereaving wife, and during his journey he wrote, "It is well with my soul." He wrote, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You know, that's the same lesson Paul learned. Again in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. "Not that I speak from want, or for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Because I have God to lean on, I can survive. I can make it, because I know Christ is there." And one of the things that was prophesied about Christ as when he was born in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 78. It says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now, peace isn't found in this world. This world is anything but peaceful. Though there are moments. Peace, though, is found in our minds when we set them upon spiritual values. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." And so what we need to learn is to fix our minds on Christ. Not be like Peter, who, you know, saw the waves billowing around him and then get frightened. We need to be focused on Christ himself. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay us also aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We find peace in God, in righteousness, in doing those things that God has told us to do, by focusing on the example of Christ. It's not the way the world looks at peace. They think it's that no violence will ever be done again. It's the way we see ourselves and our fellow brethren that brings us peace in our life. I hope you'll think about these things. This brings the beginning of our topic for this month, which will be peace. though not every lesson will be about it, but that is the topic that we're going to be aiming for this month, to learn a little bit more about being content with what we have. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren to be helped. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.